Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the heartland of Israel. Welcome back to my show. This is David HaIvri, a Hebrew in the heartland on Israel News Talk Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Israel time. The show, of course, is available on the archive, and I urge you, encourage you to share the show with your friends on social media. If you are enjoying it, let your friends know, and they should be enjoying it too. Feel free to send me any comments. We're going to be having a very special show today. I was at Ariel University yesterday at a very important meeting. I'm going to be telling you all about it in the first segment of the show. Later on the show, we're going to be speaking about the Jordan option. Can we establish an alternative to the two-state solution in Jordan? I mean, that means that can we establish two states living in peace side by side with the Jordan River in between them, Israel on this side and Jordan / Palestine or whatever the residents there would like to call their country on the other side. Judea and Samaria, of course, continuing always to be part of the heartland of Israel. On this issue, we're going to be speaking with Jordanian / Palestinian dissident Mudar Zaharan, who received political asylum in the UK because he promotes this idea and he is considered a threat to the Hashemite kingdom of Transjordan. We'll be speaking with Mudar Zaharan all about this project and all about a conference that he is spearheading in Jerusalem on October 17th at the Menachem Begin Heritage Center. We'll also be speaking with Ted Bellman, blogger and information specialist who has a weekly email blast called Israel Pundit and a blog by the same name. If you are not receiving Ted Bellman's email blast, you should definitely sign up for it. Just write Ted Bellman in your Google or whatever search you're using and reach out to Ted and let him know that you would like to be receiving this email too. It is very good. Of course, you are welcome to go over to my website and send me a personal message or sign up for my email letter. And add any comments to the comments section of the show and tell me what you think about it. So stay tuned for a very exciting and special Rosh Hashanah, pre-Rosh Hashanah show here on Israel News Talk Radio. We're going to be taking a short news and commercial break, and then we will be right back. So don't go away. Shalom from the heartland.
Why are so many non-Jews interested in Judaism? Why are they so curious? Did you know that the prophets of old prophesied about this, and it's happening now? I'm Rod Bryant, the voice of the righteous in the nations. If you want to understand this and much more, tune in to Israel News Talk Radio for Beyond the Matrix, news, views, and wisdom for the nations. Join us at my new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to the heartland of Israel. Welcome to my show. This is David HaIvri, a Hebrew in the heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Israel time, wherever you are, you can listen to the show live. You can go on to Israel News Talk Radio and press listen live, and you can listen to my show and to the other hosts on Israel News Talk Radio, and you should definitely do that because there are some amazing shows going on this station. My show, A Hebrew in the Heartland, is the only English language weekly show coming out of the heartland of Israel, bringing you news and views and interviews and speaking with people about people around the world about their connection to the land of Israel. We are now just before Rosh Hashanah, the new year. We are going to be closing down everything and going to pray to Hashem to forgive us for our misdoings for the last year and pray for a good new year to come. So, of course, you can take part in that wherever you might be in the world. Go over to the synagogue and hear the shofar, the ram's horn, and say some prayers and get yourself ready. Cleanse yourself from all of the issues of the last year and get ready for the new year. Of course, this is a very special time here in the heartland of Israel. Today, I'm going to share with you some of the activity that I took part in over the past couple of days. Last week, we had a really great show. We spoke with Sebastian Gorka. We spoke with Mandy Blumenthal. If you missed last week's show, you should go over to my page and check out the archive. Feel free to send in any comments. I'm always happy to hear from you, to hear any of your feedback, any of your comments, any of your questions. You can send me a voice message via the Israel News Talk Radio website. There is a black tab on the right-hand side of the page. It says voicemail. You can click that and record a message. Mention that the message is for me, and if it's relevant for the show, I could include that as a call-in. In any case, I'll be glad to hear from you. Yesterday, I was over at the University of Ariel, one of the places that I really enjoy spending time at. I'm about to submit my final papers for my master's degree in Israel Studies / Jewish Studies, which was a great experience. I really enjoyed the program, the MA program in Israel Studies, Jewish Studies at the Ariel University. I was exposed to a lot of different avenues that I hadn't had the opportunity to learn about before. So I'm really glad that I had the opportunity to study there and to learn about all of these amazing different things in Israel's history, in Jewish thought, in Jewish literature, in Israeli literature. It was a very great experience for me. I enjoyed that. But yesterday I was there not for my own personal education, but I brought in a good friend of mine, Mr. Hani Mazrouk, who is the director of the Arabic language information in the Prime Minister's office in Jerusalem. Hani Mazrouk is a member of the Druze religion, the Druze nation. He lives in Usafia, which is a village on Mount Carmel, and he dedicates all of his time to two main things. One is integrating Israeli minorities, Arabic-speaking minorities, into Israel's life, into Israel's society, and getting them more engaged and involved in Israel's society. And of course, by the way, being more part of Israel, so not to be against Israel, but to be part of the country that they live in and to be loyal members of society, like the example of the Druze people. The Druze in Israel are very patriotic to the state of Israel. Typically, the Druze exist in three main places. The largest part of the Druze people are in southern Syria. Then the second largest part are in Lebanon, and the third in Israel. There are also Druze in Jordan. The Druze, according to their religion, see themselves as descendants of Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses in the Bible. And they believe in the Bible stories and the biblical history and the biblical relationship between the Druze people who see themselves as the descendants of Jethro and the nation of Israel. So the Druze here in Israel from 1947-1948 signed a pact with the nation of Israel, and their young men all enlist. They don't volunteer, they're enlisted into the IDF. They are drafted just like any other Israeli. And they are typically known to be have a very high level of volunteerism in the security forces. So Druze, members of the Druze group will be found in many parts of Israel's army and police and border police and different types of security agencies. Anyway, Hani Mazrouk and myself met with the leadership of the university in Ariel, with Igal Cohen Orgad, who is like the founder of the university. He's called the chancellor. And Igal Cohen Orgad was once the Minister of Finance for the government of Israel in the Shamir government. He lives in Ariel. He was one of the founders of the city of Ariel. He's an older guy now, but he is full of energy, full of positive energy, and pushing forward this amazing institution, the University of Ariel, which is on about 15,000 students. They are now building a medical school. It's just one breakthrough after another. It's a young and dynamic atmosphere, and it's just a great place. So Hani Mazrouk from the Prime Minister's office came to meet with the leadership at the University of Ariel, of course, with Einat Dayan, who is the head of marketing. She is the wife of Danny Dayan, who is Israel's general counsel in New York in the United States. They, of course, are very patriotic, very Zionistic, and always involved in positive Zionist projects on behalf of the State of Israel. We met with two professors at Ariel who were both my teachers when I studied my MA in Middle Eastern Studies and Political Science at Ariel. We met with Dr. Ronen Cohen, who is the head of the Middle East Studies Department. I had the privilege to study under Dr. Ronen Cohen in my MA, studying about the Middle East, about Middle East religions and politics and history. So he is someone who I have great appreciation for. He is one of the leading experts in Israel in the study of Iran and the Shia religion. He is one of the main people in Israel who writes articles, research about issues in Iran. And he is brought... He's moved this department, the Department of Middle East Studies, ahead very quickly. They now have a full Arabic language program where students study spoken and written Arabic for their entire first degree, the BA program, which is unique. And they also have a voluntary program where students are learning basic Farsi, the Iranian language, which is remarkable and very important, considering that Israel sees Iran as one of the greatest threats to Israel. So, of course, we need more experts who are well-versed in the Persian society, their main religion, the Shia, Islam, and their political structure. So it's really great that Dr. Ronen Cohen is working so hard to bring forth more, to develop more experts in Israel's academy, in the Persian experience. We also met with Dr. from the department, the multifaceted department, Eyal Levine. Dr. Eyal Levine, who I also had the privilege of studying under in political science in my BA at Ariel University, is a leading expert in political science in Israel, and he teaches the Israeli politics, which I studied a number of courses under Eyal Levine. He's also published a number of books. So the meeting with Hani Mazrouk from the Prime Minister's office with the leadership at the University of Ariel was meant to explore a cooperation between their department at the Prime Minister's office of information in the Arabic language for the Arabic speaking public in Israel and for the Arabic speaking public around the Middle East. And we discussed a number of different types of programs that the university staff and students could participate in producing videos, content, websites, and many other things that could be made available for Arabic-speaking people in Israel and around the world. I'm really glad that we brought this together. We also spoke about integrating more minorities into the university. The university is already leading in doing this. It's a very special place and a special experience. Listen, we're going to be taking a very short commercial break, but don't go away. We're going to have some very special guests, and you're going to enjoy this. So hear the commercials and come right back.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Okay, listeners, today we have the opportunity to speak with a very special individual, someone who I have been connected with for a number of years and I consider a personal friend. Mudar Zaharan is a Jordanian/Palestinian dissident who has received political asylum in the UK for his efforts for peace with Israel and for establishing a country for the so-called Palestinians on the east of the Jordan River in their own country, which is today called Jordan. Mudar Zaharan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, David. Well, I appreciate talking to you and to your audience.
I'm always glad to have you on the show and to hear your insight. Mudar, today I would particularly like to speak with you about a conference that you are spearheading to be held in Jerusalem in October. Can you tell us about the conference?
Well, first of all, thanks for bringing that up. The conference is titled the Jordan Option Conference, or some call it the Jordan is Palestine Conference. It's taking place in Jerusalem at the Menachem Begin Heritage Center on the 17th of October. The conference is organized by the International Jewish Muslim Dialogue Center, and Executive Director Michael Ross, and also Israeli-Canadian journalist and publisher of Israel Pundit, Mr. Teb Bellman. The purpose of the conference comes at a very particular, perfect time, and at the time when the so-called peace process is proven to be useless and without a point, and at the time when unrest in Jordan is taking an extreme high, people are very angry with the corrupt, dictatorial regime and king of Jordan. The conference, I can just quote Dr. Mordechai Kedar, the Israeli scholar and former senior intelligence officer. He said that the conference is timely and necessary. Allow me to share this with you, David, that the conference, since it's been announced, the Muslim Brotherhood of Jordan, Hamas, and Abbas, all those three have made tremendous statements against it, including Abbas' official media calling it, quote, the most dangerous conference ever, unquote. Hamas described the conference as the trying to coin the deal of the century to turn Jordan into Palestine, and so on. Allow me also to add that, unfortunately, and many people, may find this very painful to hear, Jordan's government, Jordan's regime, they do have some agents in Jerusalem. They do have people working for them, people who are working on intelligence and propaganda against Israel and the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people, they have a right to the land in Jordan. the same way the Israelis have a right to Palestine, to a Jewish Palestine, and Israel extending from the river to the sea. The king's agents, David, have been launching a ruthless attack on the conference. Okay, there are a handful, less than five people who are barely known to anyone, including some, what we believe is an Israeli Arab journalist, somewhere who's not really famous, but has a group of friends and writes here and there. And they've been launching an attack ruthlessly on myself, on the conference. What does this say to anyone who hears it? If the King of Jordan and his agent and intelligent agents in Jerusalem, who are literally spies on Israel, spies on the Jewish nation, if Hamas, Abbas, and Jordan's Muslim Brotherhood are all officially calling for the conference to stop, I think this is the best endorsement this conference could get. It's time for change. The bells of change are ringing very loudly, and it's time we listen.
Mudar, I agree with you.
David, where we get 78% of the land and Jews get barely 22%, that's a fair deal.
Mudar, I am encouraged by the opposition of people like the PLO, Abbas, and the Hamas, and the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, if those people are on one side, then we must be on the good side, because those are really bad people. I want to hear more from you about the Jordan option. Do you believe that people in Judea and Samaria, I mean Arab locals in Judea and Samaria who are considered Palestinians, would, if a Palestinian state was established in Jordan, would people move from this area over to the eastern side of the Jordan River?
We would never endorse or tolerate ethnic cleansing of Arab Palestinians from Judea and Samaria or the West Bank. And most Israelis, if not all Israelis, would never tolerate a forced migration. That would be inhumane and against values. And also, we are leaders. I am a leader of my people. I intend to serve them. At the same time, when Jordan's king goes, and all the reports confirm he's going to go, when that happens, sooner or later, and I hope sooner, we will have all the money that he steals and spends and keeps for himself. We would have it to help our economy and provide health care, welfare, and jobs. When that happens, we will be able to turn Jordan into an attractive destination for anyone who would like to join. We're not going to force our brothers and sisters in Hebron or elsewhere to move to Jordan. No, we would not do that. But if they ever come over, if they choose to relocate to get jobs and potential and welfare, our doors will be open. Anyways, I understand that a recent study shows 63% of them would actually like to move. And now Jordan's government, Jordan's king, bans them from moving. If they want to enter, there was a huge tragedy last Eid and before that Ramadan. People got stuck on purpose by the Jordanian government at the borders where they couldn't enter. It's very horrifying what happens to my people who try to go even to visit home in Jordan, and that we will change.
Well, Mudar, I am glad to hear those ideas from you. I'm sure that we will hear more at the conference. Can you tell us about three or four of the different speakers who will be speaking at the conference in October?
Well, the conference is very unique in the sense that Arabs, including myself, are coming to speak. We are having Mr. Abid al-Mala. Abid al-Mala is the Deputy Secretary General of the Jordanian Coalition Opposition. He belongs to the largest Bedouin tribe in Jordan, the Bani Hassan tribe, 1 million man strong. And this person, this is the real deal. You have people in this conference represented every shred and element of the fabric of society in Jordan. So all Jordanians are represented, the Israelis are represented. Also, we have some experts speaking. The topics we are addressing all the difficult issues, all the difficult and tough questions. what would happen? How do we make that sure that change in Jordan doesn't bring the Muslim Brotherhood into power? How do we treat the future Jordanian citizenship of the or the current Jordanian citizenship of the people? We also have people coming representing the settlement movement or the like Arai Fleischer and we have a Knesset member, Yehuda Glick, who is an advocate of peace, who's been demonized enough by the Arab media and the leftist media, claiming, you know, describing him with things he really doesn't deserve.
I've heard that a member of Knesset, Oren Chazan, has also confirmed his participation in the conference. That should be interesting.
It will be a very interesting conference indeed. It's the event, and let me remind you, for those who are against or pro the Zionist movements, no matter where you stand is, I just want to remind them that around the same time, 120 years ago, there was another conference held in Basel, Switzerland, where Jews gathered and were preparing to build a state. That conference has had then its enemies who wanted it stopped and who had different ideas. And look at us today, it seemed that it has worked. And this is a historical conference. I urge everyone to come. And I want to send a message to the king's handful, four or three people who are, you know, the king's agents who work in Jerusalem and claim to be Israelis, including, you know, some Arab, couple Arab Israelis working with them. You won't stop us. You can do what you want. You can hiss, bark, scream, kick, do everything you actually desire. But guess what? You won't stop us. We are coming. The conference is happening. And change in Jordan is around the corner. No matter what you do or how many fake stories you publish on your Facebook wall, it's not going to happen. And yes, I mean you, those two individuals or three individuals listening.
Mudar Zaharan, I want to thank you so much for all that you do and for being on the show, sharing your efforts with our listeners. We are going to be taking a short commercial break, and then we will be back with another very special guest. So, listeners, please do not go away. Mudar, from the heartland of Israel, I send you blessings for a great new year. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova to all Jews and Israelis around the world. This year will be different.
Thank you, Mudar.
Why are so many non-Jews interested in Judaism? Why are they so curious? Did you know that the prophets of old prophesied about this? And it's happening now. I'm Rod Bryant, the voice of the righteous in the nations. If you want to understand this and much more, tune in to Israel News Talk Radio for Beyond the Matrix. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Join us at my new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, everyone. Today we have a very special guest from Jerusalem, Mr. Ted Bellman, who runs the Israel Pundit blog and newsletter. If you do not know about that, then you should definitely get on his newsletter to get general updates about the most important issues that are occurring in Israel. Ted is currently working around the clock to put together an amazing conference in Jerusalem, and for that reason, I asked Ted to come on the show and to tell us what he's working on. Ted, welcome on the show.
Pleased to be here. Thank you.
Ted, please tell us, give us a little background. Tell us about the work you've been doing over the past many years with the newsletter and the blog.
My pleasure. I started the blog about 15 years ago, just a couple of years after 9/11, when I was still living in Toronto. And I was always on the right side of the spectrum, it came natural. It wasn't an intellectual thing, although I totally believe the right is right. And in 2009, I made Aliyah. Shortly thereafter, I met with a remarkable person, Mudar Zahran, who worked for 10 years. He lived in America. In Jordan, he worked for the U.S. Embassy for much of that time as, I think, an intelligence officer. And he has excellent connections throughout the intelligence world. Now, he's a very outspoken guy, and along the line, he insulted the king in an Arab country. The next thing he knew that he was being tried in absentia for insulting the king, and they convicted him while he was waiting for a sentence that he expected to be 15 years long. He applied to Britain for asylum and has been living in Britain ever since. But my contact with him continued as he was trying to find his way to, in some fashion, take over Jordan on behalf of the Palestinians. And so I had a lot of communication with him over the time in terms of the principles he should follow, because he felt when we began that we needed Israel to support the venture. And I said, well, then you got to give something to Israel. What are you prepared to offer? And wasn't pulling teeth. He was very happy to have an amicable relationship with Israel. He knew Israel wanted all the land to the Jordan River, east or west of the Jordan River. And he was quite prepared to cede that. And he said, let's follow the Weizmann-Faisal Agreement of 1919, where the Arabs can have Jordan and the Jews can have Israel. So that was the starting principle. And I said, well, what about helping find a home for all the Palestinians and the refugees? So that was the next key plank. And we worked out, he was going to have what he calls a law of return, meaning that all Palestinians, and that's in the Judean Samaria refugee camps, wherever, have citizenship in Jordan and the right to return to Jordan at any time.
For those of you who have tuned in, we are speaking with Mr. Ted Bellman, Israel Pundit. And he's telling us about this connection with Mudar Zahran. Ted, I just want to throw in that the Jordan is Palestine idea that has been around for many years. I was always skeptical of that idea coming from Jewish Israeli speakers. Up until the time when I became aware of Mudar Zahran and his movement, regardless of the checking how large this following actually is, but just the fact that there are actually Arabs who consider themselves Palestinians / Jordanians or whatever, who believe in this concept, gave me an entirely new perspective and appreciation for this concept.
Correct. What distinguishes our solution, which we call the ultimate alternate solution, is the fact that whereas all other Jordanist Palestine solutions required a deal to be cut with the king, you know, cutting a deal with the king or the PA, it's an impossible mission. And so I never took much interest in any solution having to do with a negotiated deal. And I believe in unilateralism. So comes along and he presents a situation where we don't need or we're not even going to look for the consent of the PA or the consent of King Abdullah. Our vision is that we just have to convince President Trump, who wants an ultimate deal, that here it is within arm's reach. If you replace the king with Zahran, it's done. And so that's what makes this special and unique. No one has ever offered this before.
Ted Bellman, I would like to ask you about the unique conference that you are bringing together in Jerusalem in October. Tell us about that.
Well, I've given you the idea. So we started a conference, I guess there's a couple of components. I want to set the stage by presenting the facts as we see them. And the key person going to deal with the facts is Martin Sherman, which everyone is familiar with. Martin Sherman is a believer in compensated emigration, that we cannot try to fashion a solution where the Arabs remain in Judea and Samaria, because there'll always be a problem. Moshe Feiglin has much the same solution, and even now Smotrich has the same solution, all standing for compensated emigration, and they differ on various other details. So he's going to cover that ground. Arye Eldad, a well-known name, will be speaking. We're going to have certain people, professors, talking about the truth about King Abdullah. King Abdullah is well-liked, a smiling king, whether it's in Congress or in the Israeli government. Many people feel that he's our savior. We've kept the border quiet for 30 years or whatever, and they don't want to disturb that. Nevertheless, over the last 2 years, many articles have been written to the effect that King Abdullah is not our friend. For instance, he was behind the UNESCO resolution that said that the old city, the Temple Mount, the wall, is not Jewish. So we are going to have a lot of evidence or information just how bad the king is as part of the presentation. Then there are two professors from Toronto who immediately, when they heard we were doing the conference, contacted me. I happened to know them both, and they gave me an article that they wrote called The Fictional Kingdom. And what the article is all about is who the Palestinians are, who the people in Jordan are, who the Hashemites really, really are. And they're both very supportive of the Faisal-Weizmann agreement. So they're going to be there. I myself am going to delve into a question I've never known after all these years. I never was able to read anybody talking about it. Exactly what is the citizenship law in Jordan? At one time, when Jordan occupied Judea and Samaria, everybody there was called a Palestinian and had Palestinian citizenship. And since then, the king has tried to pull back on that citizenship. So we're going to try and uncover the layers to...
Ted, do you mean the Jordanian citizenship?
No.
Jordanian, because you said Palestinian citizenship.
Oh, I mean in Jordan. Jordan.
So they were naturalized as Jordanian citizens, and then their citizenship was taken away.
Only attempts to. The law is still there. They attempted to take it away, and that's an international crime, not easily done. And so that process stopped. So I'm just studying to get myself up to date exactly where it is and exactly what Zahran has to do to enable all Palestinians to recover their citizenship and be able to use it. So the corollary to that, the very important corollary, is that one of the reasons that there's reluctance in Israel to annex all the land is that we're going to then be called apartheid, there's going to be huge pressure for us to give citizenship and whatever. But when we clarify the citizenship that all the Palestinians and the Arabs in Judea and Samaria have citizenship in Jordan, that diffuses the whole issue about whether there's any obligation on our part to give them citizenship.
That's fascinating. Ted, we just have 1 minute left. I'd like you to give us some technical details about the conference, the date, the location, and how to register for the conference.
Well, anyone can visit my site. That's the easiest way. I pinned to the top of the site the post conference, the Jordan Option, we call it. And just go to my site. You can get there by you can even Google my name. But the conference is at the Begin Center. It's October 17th. It's an all-day conference. And from what we see, people are really, really excited about it.
Fantastic. Ted, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to wish you a Shana Tova and much Hatzlacha.
And the same to all your audience and yourself. Looking forward to seeing you at the conference. Thank you.
Everyone, we're ending another show and wishing you a Shana Tova, and come back next week. Share the show in the meantime and send in your comments. Shalom from the heartland of Israel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This day, a little painful to hear. The Jordan's government, Jordan's regime, they do have some agents in Jerusalem. They do have people working for them, people who are working on intelligence and propaganda against Israel and the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people, they have a right to the land in Jordan, the same way the Israelis have a right to Palestine, into a Jewish Palestine and Israel extending from the river to the sea. The king's agents, David, have been launching a ruthless attack on the conference. Okay, there are a handful, less than five people who are barely known to anyone, including some, what we believe is an Israeli Arab journalist, somewhere who's not really famous, but has a group of friends and writes here and there. And they've been launching an attack ruthlessly on myself, on the conference. What does this say to anyone who hears it? If the King of Jordan and his agent and intelligent agents in Jerusalem, who are literally spies on Israel, spies on the Jewish nation, if Hamas, Abbas, and Jordan's Muslim Brotherhood are all officially calling for the conference to stop, I think this is the best endorsement this conference could get. It's time for change. The bells of change are ringing very loudly, and it's time we listen.
I agree with you.
David, where we get 78% of the land, and Jews get barely 22%, that's a fair deal.
Mudar, I am encouraged by the opposition of people like the PLO, Abbas, and the Hamas, and the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, if those people are on one side, then we must be on the good side, because those are really bad people. I want to hear more from you about the Jordan Option. Do you believe that people in Judea and Samaria, I mean Arab locals in Judea and Samaria who are considered Palestinians, would, if a Palestinian state was established in Jordan, would people move from this area over to the eastern side of the Jordan River?
We would never endorse or tolerate ethnic cleansing of Arab Palestinians from Judea and Samaria or the West Bank. And most Israelis, if not all Israelis, would never tolerate a forced migration. That would be inhumane and against values. And also, we are leaders. I am a leader of my people. I intend to serve them. At the same time, when Jordan's king goes and all the reports confirm he's going to go, when that happens, sooner or later, and I hope sooner, we will have all the money that he steals and spends and keeps for himself. We would have it to help our economy and provide health care, welfare, and jobs. When that happens, we will be able to turn Jordan into an attractive destination for anyone who would like to join. We're not going to force our brothers and sisters in Hebron or elsewhere to move to Jordan. No, we would not do that. But if they ever come over, if they choose to relocate to get jobs and potential and welfare, our doors will be open. Anyways, I understand that a recent study shows 63% of them would actually like to move. And now Jordan's government, Jordan's king, bans them from moving if they want to enter. There was a huge tragedy last Eid and last before that, Ramadan. People got stuck on purpose by the Jordanian government at the borders where they couldn't enter. It's very horrifying what happens to my people who try to go even to visit home in Jordan. And that we will change.
Well, Mudar, I am glad to hear those ideas from you. I'm sure that we will hear more at the conference. Can you tell us about three or four of the different speakers who will be speaking at the conference in October?
Well, the conference is very unique in the sense that Arabs, including myself, are coming to speak. We are having Mr. Abid al-Mala. Abid al-Mala is the Deputy Secretary General of the Jordanian Coalition Opposition. He belongs to the largest Bedouin tribe in Jordan, the Bani Hassan tribe, 1 million man strong. And this person, this is the real deal. You have people in this conference representing every shred and element of the fabric of society in Jordan. So all Jordanians are represented. The Israelis are represented. Also, we have some experts speaking. The topics we are addressing all the difficult issues, all the difficult and tough questions. What would happen? How do we make that sure that change in Jordan doesn't bring the Muslim Brotherhood into power? How do we treat the future Jordanian citizenship of the or the current Jordanian citizenship of the people? We also have people coming representing the settlement movement, or the like Arai Fleischer, and we have a Knesset member, Yoda Glick, who is an advocate of peace, who's been demonized enough by the Arab media and the leftist media, claiming, you know, describing him with things he really doesn't deserve.
I've heard that a member of Knesset, Oren Chazan, has also confirmed his participation in the conference. That should be interesting.
It will be a very interesting conference indeed. It's the event, and let me remind you, for those who are against or pro the Zionist movements, no matter where you stand is, I just want to remind them that around the same time, 120 years ago, there was another conference held in Basel, Switzerland, where Jews gathered and were preparing to build a state. That conference has had then its enemies who wanted it stopped and who had different ideas. And look at us today, it seemed that it has worked. And this is a historical conference. I urge everyone to come. And I want to send a message to the king's four or three people who are, you know, the king's agents who work in Jerusalem and claim to be Israelis, including, you know, some Arab, couple Arab Israelis working with them. You won't stop us. You can do what you want. You can hiss, bark, scream, kick, do everything you actually desire. But guess what? You won't stop us. We are coming. The conference is happening. And change in Jordan is around the corner. No matter what you do or how many fake stories you publish on your Facebook wall, it's not going to happen. And yes, I mean you. those two individuals or three individuals listening.
Mudar Zaharan, I want to thank you so much for all that you do and for being on the show, sharing your efforts with our listeners. We are going to be taking a short commercial break, and then we will be back with another very special guest. So, listeners, please do not go away. Mudar, from the heartland of Israel, I send you blessings for a great new year. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova to all Jews and Israelis around the world. This year will be different.
Thank you, Mudar.
Why are so many non-Jews interested in Judaism? Why are they so curious? Did you know that the prophets of old prophesied about this? And it's happening now. I'm Rod Bryant, the voice of the righteous in the nations. If you want to understand this and much more, tune in to Israel News Talk Radio for Beyond the Matrix. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Join us at my new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, everyone. Today we have a very special guest from Jerusalem, Mr. Ted Bellman, who runs the Israel Pundit blog and newsletter. If you do not know about that, then you should definitely get on his newsletter to get general updates about the most important issues that are occurring in Israel. Ted is currently working around the clock to put together an amazing conference in Jerusalem, and for that reason, I asked Ted to come on the show and to tell us what he's working on. Ted, welcome on the show.
Pleased to be here. Thank you.
Ted, please tell us, give us a little background. Tell us about the work you've been doing over the past many years with the newsletter and the blog.
My pleasure. I started the blog about 15 years ago, just a couple of years after 9/11, when I was still living in Toronto. And I was always on the right side of the spectrum. It came natural. It wasn't an intellectual thing, although I totally believe the right is right. And in 2009, I made Aliyah. Shortly thereafter, I met with a remarkable person, Mudar Zaharan, who worked for 10 years. He lived in America. In Jordan, he worked for the U.S. Embassy for much of that time as, I think, an intelligence officer. And he has excellent connections throughout the intelligence world. Now, he's a very outspoken guy, and along the line, he insulted the king in an Arab country. The next thing he knew, that he was being tried in absentia for insulting the king, and they convicted him while he was waiting for a sentence that he expected to be 15 years long. He applied to Britain for asylum and has been living in Britain ever since. But my contact with him continued as he was trying to find his way to in some fashion, take over Jordan on behalf of the Palestinians. And so I had a lot of communication with him over the time in terms of the principles he should follow, because he felt when we began that we needed Israel to support the venture. And I said, well, then you got to give something to Israel. What are you prepared to offer? And wasn't pulling teeth. He was very happy to have an amicable relationship with Israel. He knew Israel wanted all the land to the Jordan River, east or west of the Jordan River, and he was quite prepared to cede that. And he said, let's follow the Weizmann-Faisal Agreement of 1919, where the Arabs can have Jordan and the Jews can have Israel. So that was the starting principle. And I said, well, what about helping find a home for all the Palestinians and the refugees? So that was the next key plank. And we worked out, he was going to have what he calls a law of return, meaning that all Palestinians, and that's in the Judean Samaria refugee camps, wherever, have citizenship in Jordan and the right to return to Jordan at any time.
For those of you who have tuned in, we are speaking with Mr. Ted Bellman, Israel pundit. And he's telling us about this connection with Mudar Zahran. Ted, I just want to throw in that Jordan is Palestine idea that has been around for many years. I was always skeptical of that idea coming from Jewish Israeli speakers. Up until the time when I became aware of Mudar Zahran and his movement, regardless of the checking how large this following actually is, but just the fact that there are actually Arabs who consider themselves Palestinians / Jordanians or whatever, who believe in this concept, gave me an entirely new perspective and appreciation for this concept.
Correct. What distinguishes our solution, which we call the ultimate alternate solution, is the fact that whereas all other Jordan is Palestine solutions required a deal to be cut with the king. You know, cutting a deal with the king or the PA, it's an impossible mission. And so I never took much interest in any solution having to do with a negotiated deal. And I believe in unilateralism. So comes along and he presents a situation where we don't need or we're not even going to look for the consent of the PA or the consent of King Abdullah. Our vision is that we just have to convince President Trump, who wants an ultimate deal, that here it is within arm's reach. If you replace the king with Zahran, it's done. And so that's what makes this special and unique. No one has ever offered this before.
Ted Bellman, I would like to ask you about the unique conference that you are bringing together in Jerusalem in October. Tell us about that.
Well, I've given you the idea. So we started a conference, I guess there's a couple of components. I want to set the stage by presenting the facts as we see them, and the key person going to deal with the facts is Martin Sherman, which everyone is familiar with. Martin Sherman is a believer in compensated emigration, that we cannot try to fashion a solution where the Arabs remain in Judea and Samaria, because they'll always be a problem. Moshe Feiglin has much the same solution. And even now, Smotrich has the same solution, all standing for compensated emigration, and they differ on various other details. So he's going to cover that ground. Aryeh Eldad, a well-known name, will be speaking. We're going to have certain people, professors, talking about the truth about King Abdullah. King Abdullah is well-liked, a smiling king, whether it's in Congress or in the Israeli government. Many people feel that he's our savior. We've kept the border quiet for 30 years or whatever, and they don't want to disturb that. Nevertheless, over the last 2 years, many articles have been written to the effect that King Abdullah is not our friend. For instance, he was behind the UNESCO resolution that said that the old city, the Temple Mount, the wall, is not Jewish. So we are going to have a lot of evidence or information just how bad the king is as part of the presentation. Then there are two professors from Toronto who immediately, when they heard we were doing the conference, contacted me. I happen to know them both. And they gave me an article that they wrote called "The Fictional Kingdom," and what the article is all about is who the Palestinians are, who the people in Jordan are, who the Hashemites really, really are. And they're both very supportive of the Faisal-Weizmann agreement. So they're going to be there. I myself am going to delve into a question I've never known after all these years. I never was able to read anybody talking about it. Exactly what is the citizenship law in Jordan? At one time, when Jordan occupied Judea and Samaria, everybody there was called a Palestinian and had Palestinian citizenship. And since then, the king has tried to pull back on that citizenship. So we're going to try and uncover the layers to...
Ted, do you mean the Jordanian citizenship?
No.
Jordanian, because you said Palestinian citizenship.
Oh, I mean in Jordan. Jordan.
So they were naturalized as Jordanian citizens, and then their citizenship was taken away.
Only attempts to. The law is still there. They attempted to take it away, and that's an international crime, not easily done. And so that process stopped. So I'm just studying to get myself up to date exactly where it is and exactly what Zahran has to do to enable all Palestinians to recover their citizenship and be able to use it. So the corollary to that, the very important corollary, is that one of the reasons that there's reluctance in Israel to annex all the land is that we're going to then be called apartheid. There's going to be huge pressure for us to give citizenship and whatever. But when we clarify the citizenship that all the Palestinians and the Arabs in Judea and Samaria have citizenship in Jordan, that diffuses the whole issue about whether there's any obligation on our part to give them citizenship.
That's fascinating. Ted, we just have 1 minute left. I'd like you to give us some technical details about the conference, the date, the location, and how to register for the conference.
Well, anyone can visit my site. That's the easiest way. I've pinned to the top of the site the post conference, the Jordan option, we call it. And just go to my site. You can get there by, you can even Google my name. But the conference is at the Begin Center. It's October 17th. It's an all-day conference. And from what we see, people are really, really excited about it.
Fantastic. Ted, I want to thank you for being on the show. I want to wish you a Shana Tova and much Hatzlacha.
And the same to all your audience and yourself. Looking forward to seeing you at the conference. Thank you.
Everyone, we're ending another show and wishing you a Shana Tova, and come back next week. Share the show in the meantime and send in your comments. Shalom from the heartland of Israel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.